listeners, and welcome back. I'm Ryan.
And I'm Casey, and this is I Kid You Not. So, Ryan, you are super tan.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
I'm highly jealous. How was your trip?
It was wonderful. I'm happy that you're saying I'm tan, because I always feel like I could be more tan, but...
Yeah, because that's where we grew up. You're looking not crisp, but you're looking nicely glowing.
I was good about it. My first 2 days, I feel like, that I was there were just nonstop. I went to visit my cousin first in Miami, and then went to see a friend of ours from high school, and Ashley was down there, and we were out on their boat all day. So that was just a nonstop day. That's how it always is when you're with her family, which is wonderful. I love it. Then I went to Felicia's mom has a house in like Wellington, and we were over there. Beautiful. And we really just relaxed by the pool, hit the beach. That was like the more relaxing end of my trip. And I was there for Easter and it was lovely. And I feel like I have been in straight up recovery mode since I got home, because epic fail on my part. And I never do this. We've spoken about this at length, I feel like, here.
Yeah.
I always either take the day off or like fly in the day earlier, or I take the first flight out. I think what happened when I booked this trip, at the time I had no other trips planned. So I was like, fuck it, let's just maximize it. It's one day that I'll be miserable. And then when it actually came to, I had in the meantime booked like 5 other trips before this. So this was like the last one. So I was already like nearing empty. I don't think I walked in my door until like 1 a.m. on Monday night. And as I've mentioned on here before, also, I'm also the type of person who must unpack. I can't go to bed with my suitcase still packed. So then I unpacked. By the time I fell asleep, it was like 2:30. I feel like today's the first time I'm fully recovered.
Isn't it so wild that when you go on vacation, because like I had envy that you were on vacation, right? You can have like a nice little chunk of me time, which has been so lovely. It's so crazy when you go on vacation, even if it's chill or not, like to come back, you still feel so exhausted to go into work. And when you would feel like rejuvenated, ready to go, it's like you're playing catch up into your real world.
Right.
Whereas like, I just feel like it's been nonstop here and I can't wait to go away. But like, it seems like
it's a struggle. No, I know. It is. You're right. It's a vicious cycle. I wouldn't trade any of it. I had the best time on both of my trips, LA, then Florida. Both were amazing. I was with people I haven't seen in a while. Yeah. Good people, good trips. But yesterday, I was actually a really miserable person to be around. There was a point on Tuesday where I was sitting there and I'm like, wow, I was less than 24 hours ago. I was sitting by the pool in 80 degree weather, sipping a mimosa right now. And here I am in this miserable gray wetness, staring at my computer.
Like sideways rain. I met one of my friends for dinner. It was in Midtown. I could not get an Uber or anything, a cab, nothing. For an hour, I was standing outside to try to get something. And you're drenched from head to toe. Yeah.
Did you have an umbrella?
Yeah, I had an umbrella. I keep seeing these girls in these fishbowl umbrellas. I do not like the look, but their umbrellas are not like flipping over.
Their umbrellas are flipping over, right. And because mine flipped open like 3 times yesterday.
Yep. I had water going down my sleeve because I was trying to hold the flap.
It's yep.
Fucking noxious.
And I don't know if you have this because you are a little bit taller than me. When I worked in the city, the thing I hated the most about the rain was being the short girl with the umbrella walking down a crowded city street.
Because you're like lower down. So the tall people have to go high up. So I feel like I always have to raise my umbrella up. For the little people. But the big people don't do it for me. I'm like, well, fuck. You know, rude. Right. There is etiquette here with the umbrellas and walking on the streets. Hello.
You are totally right. There is etiquette. And I don't know if I ever did it right or what, but I would get legit anxiety when it was raining and I would have to use my umbrella walking to and from the subway. I'd be like, fuck.
No, I feel like you followed the rules because you're tiny.
Yeah, I mean, I tried.
Your cats, how are they since you've been home?
Oh, my cats. I think they were so confused when I got home so late Monday night and then slept for 4 hours and left again. They were like, what's happening?
Yeah. At least our luggage was home, so that's good.
Right. Since then, they have been super needy. My first night, I got home from work because there was no way I was working out before I went. And I got home and I was like, okay, I'm going to do a quick like 20-minute ride on the Peloton. I haven't been on it all week. And then I had also a bunch of packages because I have a shopping problem, of course. So I came home to packages, my Amazon subscribe and save stuff, like my regular shit that I get. And I'm trying to go through it all. And they were, Janice in particular, was being super nasty about it and like swatting things away while I was trying to open them and like knocking my shit over. I was like, whoa, what? I don't let my cats on my countertops in the kitchen. When I first got them, I put out like tin foil. You were the one who told me to do this. Yes. I put tin foil out on the countertops and now they're not scared of tin foil at all. But at first they were like, oh, okay, we're not into this. So they didn't go on it. These motherfuckers were so bold. Tuesday night when I came home, I'm cooking and they just hop right up on the counter. I was like, whoa, this is what's happening. So
they're mad at you.
And they were letting me know it.
They're going to let you know it for a few days.
Yeah. But I'm home now. Yesterday after work, I did my like calendar and it felt really good only having to put down like a few social obligations for this month.
This month is brutal for me. So I feel yes. like I'm tapping in while you're tapping out, which is
yeah,
not a bad
funny
thing.
Funny how that works, right?
Oh, your felt babies really are going to be so happy.
Yes, they need this because if there's anything that Florida really got me ready for, it's the fact that summer is coming.
Mm.
It is time to kick it into high gear in terms of my just getting healthy and getting ready for summer. And also, I like to take a little break from drinking and going out before the summer anyway, because I don't know about you, but it's like once the weather's nice, I feel like, why don't we just get a drink? Like you leave work and you're like, should we grab a beer?
I'd be like, should we grab a margarita?
Right. Like, should we just have a little cocktail? So I know that season is coming.
Like, I don't want to go home.
I feel like guilty when I go home and it's nice out.
Yeah,
me too. So I'm looking forward to a month to catch up and breathe. But what about you? How have you been?
I've been good. I feel like I've been busy. I took myself on a date. I went to go see the Ghostbuster movie. And
give us a review.
Okay. I think it was cute. It was cute. I didn't see the first one for this series. I didn't know there was a first one, but you don't need to see the first one. But Paul Rudd was
that in is breaking
it.
News for me.
Breaking news. But Paul Rudd's in it. And I've noticed that Paul Rudd, Ryan Gosling, and Ryan Reynolds all play that funny little character. They kind of play the similar roles within those movies.
See that now that you're saying it.
They have that humor, but they could do serious or they could do, you know, whatever genre, but they seem
like
to fall
the dramedy.
They fall into that similar kind of character though. Then the guy from Stranger Things was in it with the skinny guy with the curly hair that used to date Eleven in the show. Yeah, he was one of them. So it was cute. I obviously love the originals better. I watched it when I came home. Would I say I'd recommend to go see it? No, but like if it's on, I would watch it. I went to my food therapy at session number 2.
How's that going?
So the homework spiked my anxiety. There was this chart she sent me home with 7 pages of like all different types of food listed. And there was 2 columns to fill out. One is like, what do you consistently eat? Which that was like fun. That was like exciting to fill out. And then the second one was, what are you willing to learn? And that's where like, that was hard. She made a comment that what you're willing to learn will probably be what you're going to like start to try first. So like I was very transparent about my feelings about the homework and just feeling overwhelmed and feeling there was 2 different experiences with this sheet. And she did tell me my eating disorder is called Alfred. It is a newer diagnosis the last few years, but it's good to have a diagnosis, but I'm like, I didn't really care because I've been dealing with it for 31 years.
Right. So what does that mean? Like, what is the diagnosis?
It means avoidant restrictive food intake disorder, but it is a psychological eating disorder. And growing up, the only eating disorders there were anorexia or bulimia. You know, there really wasn't. Right.
And your problem is not that it's about certain foods for you. It's not necessarily about eating in general.
Right. It's a texture thing. It's about all the components making a dish and not just seeing the dish as a whole, but it's every individual piece of
Okay.
that goes into it that you break down. It's about, you know, the fear of getting sick and throwing up after.
Oh, wow.
And it there's a lot of different steps that like feed this that cause you to either not want to eat or you're it's just very mental. So first it's just educating me, but also giving her, you know, where I'm at in the situation. And I'm pushing through my discomfort because I was not going to fill that column out. I'm making the choice that I'm ready to move forward with it and I'm motivated to do it, even though I know this is going to be an emotional journey. My goal is to ultimately be able to go out to eat with friends and travel and not have restrictions and not feel uncomfortable when, and always having something maybe to order. And of course, getting healthy. So I just feel like
Feeling
it's a good
good.
journey. But I definitely started to feel the peak of anxiety, and it's only the second appointment, and we haven't even tried food yet.
Now, I'm not the professional here, but you might not try food for a little while. As much as you have to keep working and pushing through to get there, you're taking the right steps. And, you know, I think that's even a big sign, the fact that just thinking about what you'd have to eat
It's
gave
big.
you anxiety.
And
So,
I couldn't say yes. I had to write maybe. Like there was no yes or a check. I had to write maybe because I was not ready to like fully commit to a yes on these
okay.
items. But it's a step forward.
Is she giving you any homework in terms of like things you can do to start getting more comfortable?
Yeah, so this week she
Okay,
just
that's good.
wanted, yeah, this week she just wanted me to like write why I'm doing this, like, and so that I can look back on it when I am feeling anxious. So it's really good. And I know we spoke about this the a few weeks ago, but being uncomfortable and that fear is what I'm trying to push past to get to a better
Yes.
place. So I know that I can't let this wall go up and stop me because I've been doing it for 31 years. So that was Tuesday. Yeah, I feel like my next few weeks are gonna be nutso. I have some showroom dinner that is going to be at Cipriani's that is like so expensive and so fancy and like a top New
Yeah.
York restaurant. And unfortunately, I am not going to be able to join the food, but it's going to be a
I
huge
know.
event. So it's going to be fun to network. So it's like they're like, it's a formal attire on a Monday night. So I'm like,
I
okay.
know. On a Monday night,
Yeah. And then.
less.
And then that following weekend, I'm going to North Carolina for work. I come back, and at the end of the month, I'm on vacation from the 20th to the 29th. I'm going to South Carolina, so with the family. So there's a lot
Vacation is, you know, is the light at the end of your tunnel.
until I come back, apparently.
Yes. Don't think about that for the 9 days you're away. Who knows? Maybe you'll come back feeling refreshed. I, through all of my traveling, did manage to keep up with Summer House at the very least and Vanderpump. But in Summer House, I got a little inspired. So if you're not a Bravo watcher, don't worry. This is not going to be a Bravo recap episode.
Right.
But I did get inspired, believe it or not, from watching an episode of Summer House. I mean, my favorite Bravo couple. And if you follow Two Judgy Girls, the most recent March Madness winner, Craig and Paige, on a recent episode, they were catching a lot of heat, or they stirred up a lot of conversation about them not moving in together, about Paige wanting to continue to pay for her apartment on her own.
Independence.
Yes. And it got me thinking, like, when do people start doing that? And Paige made a really good point. I think that her and Craig are having some conversations that I at least know of, and I'm sure there are people out there, don't always have these conversations before they get married or before they get engaged. So I thought it'd be fun to kind of dive into that and see, when do people have these conversations? A lot of them are really tough conversations to have.
Well, I feel like, what is it? Money, religion, and
Politics.
politics are like big reasons why people break up and they get married too soon and don't get aligned on their morals of how they want to raise the child or financially how to spend their money or whatever. And I do appreciate that she is taking her time and wanting her independence, but I have thoughts on both sides of things that I think are very controversial in the world. And I'm intrigued to hear how our listeners, where they stand with it. Every relationship is different. Some people right. are wealthy on their own and want a prenup. And some people are old school and want to combine their money and think that that yeah. is, you know, already setting up for divorce. There's so much controversy around when does your independence join your partner? And you cohabitat together, or is it that you always keep it separate, and have a joint life in the middle of it?
So in my like research for this, I just basically have been polling a bunch of people I know, from family members to friends to coworkers of all different ages. People, let's say from their early 20s to their 60s. On okay. how they did things. And it's really interesting to see some of that difference. You know, none of it is official data, right? It's just like kind of word of mouth. But there are some trends and things that I've noticed. I would say it's people in their 40s, 50s, 60s that they said were like absolutes to people our age and younger.
Well, because this
is very interesting.
I think, you know, it was frowned upon to get divorced, or you would keep it right. hush hush, or, you know, you wouldn't discuss it. Way, way back, right? And then as we got older, our parents, you know, it started to become more of a thing, but like the loyalty in marriage was still there too. And then it came to our era and we kind of were like the bridge in, I feel, that openness to
yes.
really kind of be more independent. And now I feel like there's all this social media, there's all these dating apps, there's so much accessibility that just wasn't there prior, that you can just be able to meet someone, although we haven't had success, but apparently yeah. people have no issues with, you know, bouncing from one to the next, you know? So it right. seems like the commitment for long-term is so rare. Because you can have a great life with someone and then pick up and go to somebody else for a nice period of time. There's, I think marriage is losing the specialty behind it in this world, opposed to when we were growing up. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but
I'm thinking now about the conversations I've been having with people yeah. over the last couple of days. And no one I spoke to is taking marriage lightly or took marriage lightly.
It's great. I feel like these young kids do, though. They get married at like 20 and then they're, or whatever it is.
I think like seemingly at least reality stars seem to like, where they at least seem to throw the word around. I feel like maybe for clicks or views or whatever the hell else, or followers. I think that maybe what's changed more is that people are more willing to have babies and buy houses and live together now before getting married.
Yeah,
than they were true. For sure in our parents' age. That's definitely something that has changed. And I think also some of the conversations just being more open now are changing. So the biggest thing that I learned in all my research is that I would say people from their 20s to like late 30s, the majority of them, a few did it the old school way. I'm just calling it because that's how, for my purposes.
Well understood. Yeah.
Uh-huh. The majority of people younger have separate checking accounts and a shared savings account. And there's this shared savings account. They split mostly everything, but they're fully aware who makes more, who doesn't. Like one person was saying that when they first met, she was still in school. So it was known that she wasn't making as much money as, you know, her future husband. And so he was, when they moved in together, footing the bill for a lot of things. And then as she started to make more money, she was able to give him more every month towards bills or take on some of the family bills. It's also funny because so many people are like, well, my wife Venmos me every month or my husband Venmos me. And I'm like, isn't that amazing that that's how married couples even are?
Yeah.
Yeah. But even like my aunt made a comment like, oh yeah, he would hand over the check. It's so funny how it's like hand over the check. I don't know how much that has changed. And I spoke to 40s and older was like, I think it's fucking wild that there are people out there that have separate checking accounts. There is one checking, one savings for the family. Both of our paychecks get direct deposited into it. And we know about each other's credit cards. And everyone kind of across the board did say that no one really seemed to have any credit cards that they didn't tell their partner about, or any really
didn't
major
admit it.
Or didn't admit it to me, right? Or any like major financial secrets, but
it's that safety net to
right.
grab and run and just in case. You never know.
True. Yeah, when things start getting bad, you start putting money under the mattress. I honestly have always wondered that, like, and maybe it's my own like personal insecurity of like growing up in the five towns, going to Lawrence, where there was some really affluent areas of our neighborhood and of the five towns, Inwood has probably the reputation for being like the poor one. And that's where I grew up. My mom worked several jobs and was a single mom. So I guess I always assume that people are coming from a place of money or thinking about money very early on. And maybe it's because I didn't have it really growing up. You're walking into some of these houses and you're like, oh, damn. And you're 10 or 12, you know? So I think about that. I won't lie. It is something I think about on a date where I'm wondering like when he's going to ask me about my finances. Is it going to be a turnoff to him?
What is it appropriate time when you are dating somebody to show that? Is it a year? Is it 5 years? Is it like a few months? Because honestly, I have never discussed it except with the fireman briefly because he thought I was making more than I did and then I was embarrassed. I have never shared any of that. But also, I guess I haven't been in this situation to do that. So,
right. I mean, my ex, he knew about my student loans, which I do think is something important that you should tell people when you're like going to get married. They should know about your student loan debt. They should know like
any debt.
You're going to have credit card debt. Right.
Right.
So he knew that I had student loans, but we never discussed each other's salaries. I knew his salary only because it was public information based on where he worked.
I'm not going to lie, Ryan. I have always seen the money side of it. For me, when I'm going to talk to someone or date somebody, I put a lot of investment in myself. And like, right. I want to live a certain life and I'm killing myself to provide that life. And,
right.
you know, when I'm talking to a guy, like, I don't know, maybe this is superficial side of things, but I don't think it is because at the end of the day, look, I'm not going to turn away love if I'm like, if it's like storybook, like fairy tale romance. But reality is you have to be able to be partners. And I have a certain lifestyle and I want to meet somebody where maybe I could take a break. Maybe I want to play a traditional role to raise the kids for a bit. Maybe I want to continue working, but I don't want to have the pressure of the money. And I didn't grow up like that. And I don't want it. So for me, I do see that when I do go on dates and stuff, I think of it early on. But do I ask them? No.
No.
But am I aware maybe of their job? And maybe I wouldn't go on the date if I knew the job? Yeah, I would.
Well, that's funny you're saying that because a few people, when I asked them about the finances, I would say almost across the board, most people said that they didn't really have a serious conversation about finances until they were ready to live with the person.
Right. And that makes sense.
Which makes total sense. But a lot of the people I asked, mostly the women, now that you're saying it, were like, I also knew what he did for a living. So I knew he made a decent salary.
I've definitely put it out there that I'm not high maintenance, but like, I'm definitely maintenance for sure. And, you know, I carry my weight and if I'm going to give, like, I want that back.
And honestly, I also think that that's something that happens as you get older.
Right.
Is that you kind of are like, I'm not wasting any time.
I do feel bad because there are people out there that are extremely talented that could just get a wind of their career and become really successful. So I do feel like it does shrink a pool in a way of, you know, I am writing people off that like just based off of money. So it might sound that way, guys, and I understand it, but I am seeing full sides. But I am a certain age and, you know, we are a little further into our life and money and career and experience. And it's important to understand if someone has the same drive and morals and do that.
I don't think you're necessarily looking for some guy to just come in and take over for you so you can sit up and kick back for the rest of your life.
Although.
although that would be fine if you're listening, okay? Someone with the same kind of career path or a drive that you have.
Right, right, right.
One of my cousins I reached out to, she's divorced, had a kid with her ex, has been divorced a long time, and she's now engaged to her current fiance, and she's in her 50s. She's like, we're not getting married. We're committed to each other. So we wanted to get engaged. But they, since they moved in together, they've been doing the finances and things like that. And she said they started early but slow, where they started a savings account together and would each put like every paycheck $100 into it. And like, it was just like a slow burn. We're $50 a week, something like that.
That's good.
Which is good.
You're not going to put all this money in when you don't have that.
Yes.
Close of a commitment.
She's a very driven person. She's very successful. And for her, she said, she was like, it wasn't necessarily about like what he did for a living, but it was important to me before we even got serious to make sure that he has like the drive and what his plans for like a future are.
And I get like the traditional side of things, like in one sense with Paige and Craig and the situation, you have one man that's very traditional from the Southern world where they take care of their women.
Yes.
And see more of a traditional marriage. Maybe not necessarily the woman has to be the Susie homemaker, but in the sense of just taking on some of those natural traditional duties. Whereas then you have Paige, who is this New York City girl who is doing very well in her career, makes this money and wants her independence and doesn't want to feel at any point that she can't do this on her own. For example, an apartment that she couldn't really afford on her own if they were to split, right?
Like, right.
Why set yourself up if you're not going to move in together? It should still be separate. And I get both sides of things. Maybe that will show that they're moving closer in the marriage direction.
Yes.
Where they're starting to collide lives, you know, and bring it together. When another hand is, but they don't live together. They are very in their own worlds, 50-50. And she does want to remain that independence because there's no guarantee. Which side do you kind of fall on?
Right. And I think she said something also in the episode about like, when we're in Charleston, that's yours. You own that house. So I don't then want it to be like, I have nothing that's mine, which I also get that. And granted, he bought that before they were together. When you come to New York, you're at our place. What's mine?
Right.
You know, and I do get that of wanting to hold on to some piece of independence. In this instance, I kind of agree with her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a lot, especially in a long distance relationship.
I think it's different if they lived in the same location and had their own apartments and then divided life.
That. Right.
But where to end. But
that's
like,
actually a really good point. If she were living in Charleston also, and she had met this guy and he had already bought a home when she met him, I don't think there would be as much confusion or as much debate over what they were going to do.
And because of who she is in her career, she can collect her money and have that freedom at some point if she needed to.
Right.
Sometimes I feel like, you know, the tradition is still okay if you're in that situation. I don't feel like just because you go the traditional route, you lose. But in a circumstance where you don't live in the same city or state,
in long distance,
different. I could see why that fear sets in of living outside your means. And people date people that are way more loaded than them, right? And they go on these lavish vacations and jets and all of the expensive gifts, and then all of a sudden they break up and they didn't have anything to start with.
Right. Now you're back flying in coach, taking Spirit Airlines.
And living in some rinky dink apartment. And like the culture shock is real. I remember when Juliana Huff was talking about with Ryan Seacrest, when they broke up, she talked about how hard that was, because that was
and
a whole
she's
world.
Not poor by any means, but he is
he's
coming
level.
Off of American Idol, Kelly and Ryan money, like.
And when he met her, she was still coming up. You know, he was like well in it because he's older, you know. So it's definitely, you know, shell shocking. I think this day and age, women have learned that it is important to have your independence and have your own money.
Yes.
I feel like I would be open to
More
of a traditional way of doing things.
Question. Because you're saying it, you would want to sign one for your family's money, which I was thinking that when you first brought up prenups, is that like a lot of the times when people want a prenup involved, it's because there's family money. This isn't just me we're talking about now.
Right.
I have to protect
my family.
Everyone else, which I totally get. Would you, from the other end, because this comes up, I feel like, a lot on Bravo also, would you be offended if the man you met, let's say he's, you know, the billionaire jet guy, if he wanted you to sign a prenup, would that...
I think when I was younger and this wasn't as a common of a conversation, I would feel so insulted because I would see it as, okay, you already think our marriage
Planning
is
our breakup.
failure, right? But this day and age, I think you'd be stupid not to.
Yeah.
So I do think there could be built-in contingencies on when you are in a marriage and let's say something takes off, whether it's a property or a job or success,
Right.
and you make all this money and you're in this marriage for that amount of time, I think you have equal rights to that.
I
But
agree.
the family stuff, I would null and void.
I agree. Because that's a
But
solid point, especially even if you're not the one, say, going out every day and doing all the work, you're taking care of the home and the family so that he can go do that. And you're supporting him. So it's a partnership. I would
it's a
agree
lot
with
of
you there.
work
I
because
think
you're
it's
taking
work, right?
care of
It's
them.
work.
You're taking care
So
of this man so he can do all of this and their
I would
kids.
never be offended. I don't think, as long as it was an understanding that like any money we make while we're together, this is our money.
Right.
But what you have before is fine.
I'm a ride or die chick. I will bad boys for life. I'll go through this life with you. I'm a loyal bitch. If I'm going to marry you because I'm like petrified of commitment, then I'm in it for the long
Right.
haul.
And I think that a lot of people, when they get asked, or a common fear or feeling is like, oh, you're already thinking about us breaking up. But I don't really think that's what it is. You need to be smart about it.
Yeah, because there's too many fleeting relationships.
There's too much financially that could happen that you need to protect yourself,
Like,
even if you're
God
married.
forbid this man like does something fraudulent. Like, Lord knows.
Right.
Like, you need to have that's why people keep their money separate too, is like your shit is your shit. You go down,
That's why
like
you
that's your
need
shit,
to read everything you sign,
Yeah, I'm not a
ladies in
reader, but
particular.
a
You need
lawyer.
to, because if you don't watch Bravo, this is a huge lesson from Bravo.
Teresa Giudice.
You need to know what you're putting your name on, because you could really be fucking yourself. So I asked people how long they were together before they got engaged and before they got married. Most people did have these like financial conversations before they even got engaged because they were living together.
Right.
But it was interesting. And again, this is just my small group of 20 or so people that I surveyed. So it is not any like scientific research here, but it did seem that people who were together longer or people who got together later in life, like in their late 30s or like mid to late 30s, they had financial conversations like right off the bat,
That makes sense.
almost immediately. Yes, they definitely happened before they were engaged. But then we had
Yeah.
some people that I spoke to who were like, honestly, we didn't even broach it until kids became a question.
No, I mean, I would definitely get in there. I mean, I would get in
Yeah.
there only because I want security in my life. I don't give me some bag of shit.
Yes,
And we
also.
don't have to get married. I could just date you, be in love with you, have a child with you, do a thing, but like I'm good.
I think that's also where maybe the like separate checking accounts and things with this younger or our generation and younger is makes it easier to kind of avoid those difficult conversations until you have kids, because kids is when it really becomes like, okay,
Well,
this
you
is a
join
joint
lives,
effort.
right? Like, quite literally.
I think it has forced the conversation for some people we know, and it's just interesting. And no one's situations has it been like that I've spoken to, has it been something like where they like got this like crazy surprise and we're like, oh fuck, now I'm out. So I'm like, all right, good. Someone actually said to me today when I asked him, he said, you know, secrets are hard enough to keep, but financial secrets are a huge fucking no if you're going to spend the rest of your life with someone.
I know, but people do it because
People
they feel
do.
pressure that to provide a certain life, so they start doing some sketchy.
People really were like on the same page about the fact that, you know, there can't be financial secrets. Someone else said his reasoning behind not wanting the separate checking accounts was if you're having separate checking accounts and you're having separate credit cards and separate savings, like it makes it a lot easier to do other things separate too.
Yep.
And that was a good point. I don't think I ever really thought about it until we started talking, like saying we were going to do this. In my head, I think I did always assume that there would be like my personal account, their personal account, and then like a house account. I don't think I really thought about it otherwise, but then hearing these other opinions, I'm like, oh, that's actually a super valid point.
I don't like all that separation. I think it's fine if there's like a savings side of things, but again, like
Yeah.
we're in this marriage together, we're both making this commitment to literally support one another's lives, whether it's cleaning up the house, whether it's financial, whether what emotional, whatever the shit is, it's work. It's not like it's
work.
Sunshine and roses. For instance, I feel like mothers don't get a paycheck, and their fucking job is hard as shit.
Like a stay-at-home mom, you mean?
Yes, a stay-at-home mom. It's especially if they have more than one child and they have a pet. Like, it is a lot of work. It is a full-time job, and you're at work doing what you enjoy. So when you come home, you're tired. Well, I'm tired.
Adult conversation, you know?
Right. So I feel like just because there's not a paycheck doesn't mean there's not equal contribution to that relationship. Correct.
I'll totally agree with you. Because that was my other thing that I was just curious about is that, like, when you move in together, was it like, okay, you know, and this is completely unrealistic for New York, but, you know, rent is $1,500. We're going to split it.
So nice. Right? Cul-de-sac.
Is it right away that way? But I do think that most of the people I spoke about were like, well, when we moved in together, we knew full well that my job, I was getting paid shit, or she knew that I had to go back to school for something and that she was going to have to pick up during this time. So I just think that's interesting because I do think that's important, is pointing out that, like, even though a lot of the times in relationships, there's one person maybe paying a little bit more into the bills, the other person, hopefully, if you're in a happy relationship.
Partnership, yeah.
Yes, is contributing just as much, just not, maybe not financially. Which I think that's just important to point out.
Totally. So let me ask you something. Uh-huh. First date, let's reel it back to the very first time you meet somebody, all right?
Uh-huh.
Do you pay? Do you split it?
I will not lie to you. I used to, back in the day, do that, like, fake little reach for my wallet. Now, I do that. If they say, like, do you want to split it? I'm like, oh, okay, sure. But I don't reach for my wallet unless they ask if I want to split it.
I'm always reaching for my wallet, and I feel like I don't want to ever reach for my wallet, and I'm always doing it because
it's awkward. It's awkward. Fake.
So I'd rather just, look, this is what I'm going to do, and so get in, get
do
out.
You,
but there's
do you
men
always
that,
pay on first dates, or do you, like, have well, you had a guy be like, oh, yeah.
No, I got it. He's like, this? No, I got it. Like,
okay.
And I'm like, and then I'll be like, well, do you want me to contribute? Like, no, I'm good. And I said, okay, you know, but I don't go on a lot of dates. So I'm not really like I definitely have, like, gone halvesies before. And I get it because they're probably going on a ton of dates and they don't want to pay for everybody. Like, I get it. But, like, you know, I'm down with the traditional side. Like, man, treat me.
I know.
Romance me.
Makes us bad feminists or whatever. But I do get a little like, oh, okay. You want to go half? Got it.
It just really downplays it too. Like, why are we on a date? Like,
I don't know.
Whatever. It's weird. Right.
Like, you should have asked me to go for a walk then, friend, if you weren't trying to pay.
Am I going to talk to this person again or not? And if I'm not, then yeah, I want to go halvesies because I'm not gonna pay.
Because I don't want. Well, exactly. Usually, if I'm like all in on a halvesies, it's because that we both know this was not an enjoyable date,
right? And I think to myself, are you asking me this because are you financially not good? So, like, that brings back the finances as well, mm-hmm. or like, how often are you doing this? Like, this is a little.
How often are you going on dates that you
right,
can't?
That's also a turn off.
If you ask me on a date, you should pick up the tab.
I feel like that should be a thing on the dating apps. How they have, like, the profile and there's, like, the height. And, like, do you want a baby? Are you in, like, what status are you looking for? It should be gentlemen or halvesies. You know, like, it should tell you point blank.
Speaking of the dating apps and that little profile thing that you're talking about, men over 40, if you are listening, which you're probably not, you're not exactly our audience, but if you are listening, I need to know why there are so many men literally 40 or older, and under the question with if you want kids, it either says not sure yet or maybe someday. You are 42, sir. The day is here. What do you mean maybe someday?
That's like child syndrome, I feel like. Yeah. Man child at its fullest.
Is rampant. I honestly respect it more if you put up there like, no, I don't want kids. Then someone's not sure yet. Like,
I've seen a few of those, and I go right by it. Even if they're like decent, I'm not.
I agree because I know that I want kids, but that's what I mean. I appreciate it a lot more that, okay, at least you know who you are and what you want. But to say at 42, you don't know, like, what?
I had my dating app, and my colleague goes to me the other day, what's on your thing? I was like, I don't know, take a look at it. You know, if you want to fix it up a bit, go ahead, because I suck at this. And she's 29, so I was like, all right, you know, we'll see what she comes up with. She's like, first off, you need to take marriage off of the table. I was like, why? She goes, because it's too much. What? Status, what are you looking for? Marriage.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean.
I want to weed out all the fuckboys. I was getting too many.
I gotcha.
I was getting too many, like, let's meet for a drink or sexual. Oh, God. Like, I'm not in my 20s. I think
that I put monogamy is what I put.
Yeah, well, she's like, you can't, you got to take that out. No stats. Like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, I don't want these randos. She's like, but you could see their profile and you could see if they want marriage.
Interesting. One piece of advice I got, and I did make this update, and this was probably like 4 months ago, someone told me this, was that you should have at least one picture that is like full body. Like, it doesn't have to be a sexy one.
Yeah, but no, like, 100%.
There should be one of you that like is from head to toe.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn. Okay, so I did have to, like, scour, because that's another thing that I don't really do.
Like, I heard that you need to show, like, something active, like, that you're doing. Like, not just selfies, but, like, something, like, you're physically out doing.
Or, like, if you like to go on vacations, like, show a picture of you on a trip or something like that. Show the people what they want. So one thing that I want to cover before we move on with our days that I just thought was interesting. Like I said in the beginning of the episode, how Paige said that she feels like she and Craig are having a lot of the serious conversations that some people often don't even have until they're already married or get married and don't ever have. I asked this same group what they thought, advice-wise, like, these are the conversations that you must have. That couples who are getting serious and want to get married or want to even move in together and take that next step, that they should be having before they even consider engagement.
And
I put a little list together of like the common ones.
Yeah, let's hear
it. One was finances and debt and things like that. Because
agreed.
Someone wrote like, what if one of you loses your job? Like, you need to know where you both are and how you're going to handle that.
Right, because it's a pressure cooker. Like, that could be a divorce. So you got to know how would you handle it?
Yep. Kids was a big one. Do you want kids? Do you want kids? How many kids do you want? How do you want to raise them, right? And where they go to school important? Because then that also turns into the conversation of, well, then where are we going to live? Are we going to live in a city? Are we going to live in a suburb? Are we willing to move out of state? Another one that came up that I didn't even think of this was religion.
Huge, because how are you going to raise your kids? What are your kids going to be?
Uh-huh.
That's a big thing for me, to be honest with you. I want to raise the kids how I was raised. I need someone that's a little flexible. I don't mind conjoining, you know, parts of it, but I ultimately want to be the driver in that. And I'm strict on that. I will not fold.
One that also came up a lot was like what their family is like and what the expectations of that family are. In terms of like, and I was like, wait, what do you mean? And then it started coming up with a lot of people like, oh, I wish I knew that Christmas Eve was their big holiday before we got engaged, because now that Christmas Eve is always a fight for us or something like that. So my one friend was like, no, I knew before we even started living together that like his family gets these holidays and those are the non-negotiables.
I mean, if you don't know that and you're going to marry this person, I don't think you've been dating that long.
Right? But that also happens, Casey. Like, people are also.
But if you're dating a full year, you could kind of see where.
Well, that's the other thing I was going to say to you, is that some of the people I was speaking to, they got together, you know, mid-30s or later. So things got serious quicker. Someone said to me, like, literally on, like, the second date, she's like, I was like, okay, so do you want kids? Like, let's get that out of the way now. Because if that's not something you want, then I don't want to, I'm not wasting, right, there's no point for me. And also another thing on the kid thing that came up that I thought was interesting was, and she's like, and I think maybe it's because we're a little bit older, but a couple of people in their mid-30s said this to me, that they had the conversation of like, okay, what if I can't get pregnant? Would you be open to IVF, IUI, adoption?
That's like, smart. That's right? Smart, because that, I think a lot of people, that could break up a lot of marriages, yes. Because I think this day and age is a different story. I think people are more open to different ways of conceiving. But like, I do think that it is a big thing because there are some people who want to do it naturally.
Yes.
And that can cause a lot of friction. Yes. So, right. Are you open to these different avenues, foster care, whatever it is, to be able to, you know, be a parent to some child that needs it, regardless if you're able to.
Naturally. Yeah.
Right.
Totally agree. I think we're in it. And then my absolute favorite response when I asked, what are some things that you think are important to speak about, was cleanliness and how you upkeep your home. And I was like,
I mean, that's the first thing.
A good point, because you're right. I don't want to be the bitch just running around cleaning up after you all the time.
Yeah, but like, again, did you date? Because like, the first thing I do, how they keep an apartment, are you stocking your fridge? Do you have one glass? Is your sheets clean? Do you even have sheets on your bed? Is there a place to sit? Like, what are we working with here? You have shit all over your house? Like, I'm not walking to a Ross Geller dating that fucking hot mess and get slime on my hands. Like, it's not happening.
But then, okay, if you're not the type of guy who's gonna...
You to be perfect, but like...
Put your laundry away. Are you at least then willing to get a cleaning lady? Because I'm not committing to being your cleaning lady.
Or like, then you're stuck with the cleaning the sink drains and bathroom drains. You're stuck with doing the garbage or the dishes. You're stuck cleaning the toilets. I'll do certain parts. I'm fine with that if I'm owning this, but then you're going to own.
I'm not the cleaning. I don't. Right. So I just thought that was funny. Cleanliness. And I'm like, oh God, such so funny. Or like what your idea of clean means, because it is not the same for everyone.
I'm not going to lie to you. Well, because I know you're like a nut with cleaning because you're how you were raised with your mom. Yeah. I grew up with, you know, a cleaning lady that she lived in my house. So my mom always taught us things. Like, I make my bed every morning. I have to. I like going into a clean bed.
I don't feel right if my bed isn't made. Like,
I agree.
I don't feel right leaving the house. Like,
but I like my pillow fluffed and then sliding in. My blanket's fluffed because it's down. Like, I'm a clean person, but do I deep clean as often? Maybe not. And this is easy coming from two single people who have been independent, who do it on their own all this time, don't have to split lives. But it's what we want, how we want to leave things is how it's going to be when we come back, right?
Yeah.
So
what happens if you fall in love, Casey, with a guy and he's an absolute fucking slob? He always looks presentable. And then you go to his apartment for the first time and you guys are months and months in now because he's always coming to your place. And you walk in and he's a fucking slob.
I would call him out on his fucking shit and I would train his ass to either start slow or get a fucking cleaning lady. It's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the times, or at least I've noticed this in relationships, there's the honeymoon phase where people are doing a little bit more.
I did that.
Right. Like cleaning more and doing a little bit more and doing things. So if you get married really quickly or get engaged really quickly, you might not realize that like, oh,
this was a facade.
This was a bit of a, you were just putting on. Now I'm getting the
real you. But
that's
why
I think
it's important to really
have some of these conversations.
Is this a consistency thing or is this for show? You know, and I think that's why people for the traditional side of things always waited. But yeah, you know, the clock is ticking over here.
Breakers.
Yeah. The reality is I probably would have a kid before I would get the marriage and combine finances and all of that life.
Me too.
At this age of life, when I was younger, I would never even have thought it.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do you think that like that's changed?
Oh, yeah. Because I wanted the traditional. Because at the end of the day, look, it is tough raising a kid, doing it on your own. It is a walk in the park and I'm not going to act as if it is. And so obviously you would want a partner to be able to share that experience, but also share that fun journey of figuring it out together and raising this little human being. And, you know, so.
But that is something that's important to you that you want no matter what.
Right. And at this age, you know, you do have to shift your priorities. Right.
Yeah.
So it's easier said on our end. And we know that, listeners. We know that.
Like I like to say to a friend of ours, like it's really easy to make comments about how you're going to parent when you don't have kids.
Right, right. I saw this commercial with that chick Patty, the $1 million matchmaker. She used to have a show back in the day, and it looks like she's back. And guess who she's co-hosting with?
Who?
Nick Vale.
Oh, Nick. Oh, from Bachelor, like Vile Files guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's like, I think, number two podcast in all podcasts. Like, I love him. I think he's great. I liked him when he was on The Bachelor, too, though. I didn't like
him on The Bachelor, and then now I like him. It's so interesting to me because I'm loving doing this with you, honestly, having a blast. But we also have full-time jobs, right?
Right.
So we do this on the side of that. So it's really interesting when you look at some of these podcasters and like follow them who this is their full-time job. He's putting out like several episodes a week.
Yeah.
2 hours an episode. I put on an episode the other day. It was 2 hours and 25 minutes. I was like, can I just fast forward to the part where Katie's on? Like,
well, because he has these big time people coming on.
Right.
So, and he's a really good interviewer. I just like his style. I also like his point of view.
What's so interesting, actually, now that we're like talking about this just with people's like dating history, it just made me realize everyone I asked about like what the important things to like discuss and know about your partner before you like take that next step are, not a single person said like their dating history.
We're old, Ryan.
Yeah. I just want to say, I like that no one said that, though. That means we're evolved.
Yeah, that was a people shit thing single. Back in the day. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that used to be a bigger deal for some people.
It was like shame.
Yes. It's like, no, you're, we've all got a past. You're fucking.
Also, we're like ancient.
37 years old.
Celibate.
If you don't have a past, then I'm more concerned about that.
And honestly, this beautiful creature in front of you is because of my colorful past. So you're welcome.
You're welcome. I would not have the wit and humor that I do now if it weren't for the trauma I've been through.
Look, trauma bond, baby.
Yes.
It's a real thing. All right, well, this was fun.
Yeah, thanks to our reality stars for inspiring us on the daily to have this tough conversation.
Seriously, what a pro. No, we would love to hear from you guys. Please comment on the post or write in if you have topics or want to share a story. Happy to read it. Hit the follow button and tune into new episodes every Tuesday. We're streaming on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and we are on Instagram and TikTok. We look forward to hearing from you.
See you next Tuesday.
Bye.